Everyone's familiar with Forrest Gump, right?
I mean, Lord, he's part of the culture now.
Well, when he died, he came to stand before St. Peter at the pearly gates, and St. Peter said, "Forrest, I'm sorry, we've heard a lot about you, but heaven is very crowded now, and so we have to give people an entrance examination before we let them in."
"Okay," said Forrest. "I hope it's not too hard. I've already been through a test. My mama used to say life is like a final exam. It's hard."
"Yes, Forrest, I know, but this test is only three questions, and here they are. Which 2 days of the week begin with the letter T? How many seconds are there in a year? And what is God's first name?"
"Well, sir," said Forrest, the first one is easy. "Which 2 days of the week begin with the letter T? Today and tomorrow."
Well, St. Peter looked a little surprised and said, "That's not really the answer I was expecting, but I guess you have a point, so I'll give you credit for it."
"Next question," said Forrest, "how many seconds are in a year?"
12.
12, said St. Peter. "And
yes, sir," said Forrest, "January 2nd, February 2nd.
St. Peter interrupted him and said, I see what you mean. I'll give you credit for that one, too."
"Oh, and the last question," said Forrest, "what's God's first name?"
"It's Andy."
"Andy," said St. Peter in shock. "How did you come up with Andy?"
"I learned it in church. We used to sing about it."
And Forrest broke into song. "Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me, Andy tells me I am his own." Opening the gates to heaven, St. Peter cried out, "Run, Forrest, run!"
That's the thing about jokes. They make us laugh because they bring the unexpected, an element of surprise. Last Sunday was Easter Sunday, the Sunday we celebrate the biggest surprise in all of history, the best joke the world has ever known. But during Holy Week, we witnessed Jesus' disciples become so intimidated and terrified by the horror of watching their rabbi's journey to the cross, his arrest, his torture, and his execution in plain sight, that they scattered in fear. Peter, in particular, is so scared that he denies Jesus in his greatest hour of need, just as Jesus had predicted he would. This is the same Peter who, after fishing all night, doubted Jesus when he told him to throw the nets off the other side of the boat. It's the same Peter who told Jesus to send 5,000 people home from a hillside because there wasn't enough food to feed all of them. So imagine Peter's surprise when there were nets full of fish, people full of food with 12 baskets left over, as if God was trying to prove a point. And then finally, and most importantly, his surprise at the empty tomb where once the body of his beloved Jesus had lain. God surprised Peter again and again. See, when Peter is absolutely sure that he knows how things will turn out, God surprises him by doing the impossible or the wonderfully unexpected and the miraculous. So what else could Peter do but laugh with joy? And isn't that the point? Isn't that the reason for celebrating the resurrection? Jesus rising from the dead is a joyful event. And because it's the last thing anyone expects, it makes it all the more reason to be full of laughter and joy. God has played the biggest practical joke on the evil one by raising Jesus from the dead. Now, the early church certainly understood Easter this way. The Greek people, as they began to join the church, began a custom of having a full week called Days of Joy and Laughter to celebrate Christ's resurrection. They had parties and picnics. They sang and they danced. Yes, they danced. And of course, played practical jokes on one another, because that's what God had done. Played a joke on the devil. It's a good reason to celebrate. Sometimes in current times, in our times, it seems or feels as if we've outgrown the surprise of Christ's resurrection. It's as if we put away such childish things, as if the mighty acts of God are only to be interpreted as serious. We're good at identifying with the sufferings of Jesus as we gaze at our own struggles in life, whether it be physical illness or a divorce or depression or the loss of a job or the death of a loved one or perhaps our own failing health. We look around the world at all the hate and violence, and perhaps we feel it could be wrong or in bad taste to laugh and be joyful. But what about the joy of the risen Christ? Friends, the good news is evil doesn't win in the end. And that is worth celebrating. Several years ago, many were praising Mel Gibson for his portrayal of Christ's suffering in The Passion of the Christ. But no one seemed to notice or even be concerned that Gibson gave barely 60 seconds to show Christ about to emerge from the tomb. Of a two-hour movie, 60 seconds was given to the resurrection and the rest to his suffering. In today's reading from the book of Acts, we meet Jesus' disciple Peter again. But this time something is radically different. This time he surprises us. It seems that the apostles are no longer afraid. They have boldly been proclaiming the news of the resurrection, and as a result, they have been thrown in prison. Well, now that's turnaround. Then sometime in the middle of the night, an angel appears in the jail cell and releases them. Angels seem to be letting people out of prison a lot in the Bible. And tells them to go and publicly share the good news in the temple court. And that is the boldest and most dangerous move they could possibly make. You see, they've already been arrested by the high priest, but they return to the public center of religious activity and do again what they have just been arrested for doing. Instead of running away and hiding, Peter and the disciples faithfully obey what God has told them to do. And in so doing, they stand up to the high priest and the other leaders. And when they are confronted by the same people about doing exactly what they've been told not to do, Peter says, along with the others, "We must obey God rather than human beings." Are these the same people we read about in the Gospels earlier? This is a miraculous change in behavior. From running away from the cross to standing in the temple courts telling the forbidden story of the resurrection. Peter has been surprised by God for so long that he seems to have finally learned a lesson. You can rely on this fact. God will surprise you. No matter how grim the circumstances may look, God always has something up the proverbial sleeve. Peter knows to wait for the punchline. He's learned to bank on it, and it has changed him. It's turned him into a new person. The perfect example of a resurrected faith. Something to be joyful about. See, the disciples were a lost bunch of frightened men, and God still chose them to usher in this new church. Frederick Buechner calls it the comedy of Scripture. He says, God chooses Abraham, too old and too set in his ways. God chooses Jacob, who for goodness sake stole his birthright. God chooses David, who has a man killed so that he can steal his wife. God chooses 12 men who had no training or talent or anything special to set them apart. God chooses the cross, a shameful, agonizing death, to conquer death itself. God chooses the most unlikely people and the most unlikely things. And yes, God chooses you and me. What can we do but laugh with joy? Have you ever surprised yourself by acting in faith instead of fear? Sometimes the unexpected work of God in our lives leads us to a surprise, even to ourselves. God leads us to lean on God's unseen potential for surprise rather than to obey the seen expectations of this world. And when that happens, when we are the surprise, then that, my friends, is the best reason in the world to laugh. Today, this Easter season, is a chance to reclaim the joy of Christ's resurrection, to let it shape how we see and live in this world, even with all its pain and ugliness. Laugh, my friends, laugh loud and long. Laugh for the joy of the Lord, always remembering that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen.